As we consider and ponder these words of Jesus for us this day, I invite you to please join with me in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you so much that you invite us to follow you. We thank you that you invite us to be your leaders, but you also provide the gifts for leadership. You inspire with the power of your Holy Spirit, and you move us to be the people you've called and purposed us to be. Be with us this day that we might be the followers and the leaders that you desire for us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. So do you remember that childhood game of follow the leader? Do you remember that game? Remember how it goes? There would be a leader that would be picked, and then you were to follow that person, and you were to mimic their actions, right? Is that how it was? So whatever they did, you were to do. Hop on a foot, whatever it was, you were to do. And if you did not follow the leader, then you were out, right? I'd like to suggest that what Jesus proposes and instructs in our gospel for today is a lot like follow the leader, with one major exception. And that is that whereas the childhood game, follow the leader, was designed either to have you perfectly mimic or be excluded, Jesus' invitation is always designed to include. Jesus never desires to exclude. He always wants to include. And everything that Jesus does is inclusive. He desires for us to be filled with the power of the Spirit so that we might be the people he empowers us to be, that we might be not only the followers, but the leaders. So with that in mind, and because one of our core values is that prayer is intentional, even though we've already prayed, I'd like you to pray with me again. And this time, as we pray, be focused on that question that we posed at the beginning of worship, why church? And also interject with that, why follow? And why lead? Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we have posed a question, why church? We've also posed questions, why follow? And why lead? As we heard from your word today, you give all of us particular gifts. For that, we're grateful. We're thankful. Allow us to be faithful in how we utilize the gifts with which you've blessed us. Allow us to be the people you've called us to be. Allow us to follow you so that in those moments and situations where you desire for us to lead, help us to lead in a Christ-like way. In your name we pray. Amen. So we've been taking a look at follow me. Do you remember the first words that Jesus posed to his disciples when he was calling them? What were the first two words that Jesus posed to Peter, James, John on the beach? Follow me. Follow me. A simple invitation. Follow me. That was his invitation. Over and over again, in many different ways, with different words, Jesus posed the question, follow me. And so what he was doing was he was really guiding them to a position of leadership by following him. That was his goal. And I'd like to suggest to you today that if we read God's word diligently and intentionally and with the purpose that God intends, that embedded in God's word are instructions for us to consider three eyes that help us better see what it means to be a leader. And the three eyes are these: invitation, God always invites; imitation, he invites us to mimic, follow his lead; and inspiration, he never leaves it up to our own devices. He infuses us with the Holy Spirit. So invitation, imitation, and inspiration are ways in which God not only includes us to be followers, but leaders, and enables us to be the leaders he calls us to be. So as we consider leadership today and what it means to truly be a follower of Christ in that regard, I'd like to have us look together at an eyewitness account of what leadership might look like and see if you can find the three I's embedded in this eyewitness account.
Hi, I'm Janine Allen, and I've been invited today to share a story with you about my recent mission trip to Honduras. We served as part of World Gospel Outreach, which would go out into impoverished communities in Honduras and set up in the local churches. We would set up medical, dental, and optical, and then we would invite the local communities in. People would wait for hours to see us, as these are services that they generally would never have available to them, and ones that they definitely could not afford. Once they received a service, they would come and sit down with a team member who would just have the opportunity to talk with them and pray with them and just share the love of God. And that's where my story begins. That's where I met Pedro. This man came and he sat in my station, and he had very soiled clothing and rip in his pants, and he was there with a young son, and he was just so excited as he held up two bags. One had glasses in them, and the other one had medicine in them. And I just smiled at him, and I said, "Oh, Pedro, I am so glad that we could provide these services for you today." And he just responded and said he is beyond grateful, as he could never afford these things. And as we talked, I just simply said to him, or asked him if he knew about Jesus as the Lord and Savior of his life. And at that point, he began to talk very quickly, and his hands started going, and he was pointing to the window. I was anxiously waiting what the translator would tell me, and she responded, "Oh, yes," he said, "he has heard about Jesus because he comes here on Sundays, and he sits outside that window, and he listens to the pastor's message. So, yes, he has heard about Jesus." And I looked at Pedro, and I said, "Pedro, why are you sitting outside the church, listening at the window? Why have you not come in?" And he looked down at the ground and he shrugged his shoulders and he said, "I had never been invited in. Not until today, not until that medical brigade had he ever been invited in the church." So that led to a great conversation, and we were able to talk with him, and he accepted Jesus in his heart that day, and we were able to give him a Bible and connect him to the pastor there at that local church. And when he left, he gave me just the biggest hug, and his son gave me a hug, and they said, "Thank you so much. We will be here on Sunday, and this time we're going to be sitting in the pews." Well, that story just makes me smile, but as I shared that with my team from Honduras, it also made us just stop and pause and think about our own lives and just really think about if there's anybody that we know that's in our lives, that's in our community, that's on the outside looking in, that is just simply waiting for that invitation to come.
Who's that person waiting for your invitation? It might be as obvious as a Pedro outside the window, or maybe it's not so obvious. Who's that person? Why church? Why so important? Well, one of the ways in which I've addressed, or at least it's helpful in my life to address that question and those questions, is what is it that is the vision of the church? As we think about invitation and imitation and inspiration, what is it that gives us vision to see that kind of leadership for the church? And I think that our Good Shepherd vision statement provides that. To reach so that God can transform spiritually distracted people so they come to know, love, and serve God. And embedded in that vision statement are seven core values that help us be followers and leaders. One of those core values is prayer is intentional. I love this little girl. She helped us focus on the intentionality of prayer, and she wasn't alone. So many precious children who prayed so fervently. I don't know if she was praying about the abuse that may have been happening at her home, as so often happens in Honduras. I don't know if she was praying about, could this be the day that she gets a full meal? I don't know if she was praying about whether or not her daddy might come home. I don't know if she was praying about whether or not her brother might not be in a gang. I don't know if she was praying about whether or not she would truly come to know Jesus. I don't know. What I do know is that prayer was very intentional for her. And oh my goodness, did not only the children, but the people of Honduras pray with fervor, because they have, like we, so much to pray about. And they helped us take prayer to another level as they prayed intentionally. What made this more poignant and just really made it more relevant for me was just considering some of the living conditions. This house is actually in the high rent district. Believe it or not, there are houses that are a lot more humble and less than that one. We put concrete floors in houses that just have dirt floors, or because it's been so much rain, mud floors. And because the poverty is so extreme, because the unemployment is so high, because the violence is so awful, it's no wonder that there's a caravan of people that want to leave that country and those circumstances. And without getting political, I understand the circumstances those individuals want to escape. And that's why I'm so glad that our mission team was able to go and provide care so that their home, their community can be better than it was before. And the work is so intense and there is so much more to do. But thanks to your generosity, we were able to provide so much that they did not have before, make their homes a little bit better, make the conditions such that maybe they could endure and not have to leave. Oh, another value that was so important to us was that kids matter. Not only did we care for them and share Jesus stories with them and sing songs about Jesus, but we washed their hair. It's a lot easier than washing feet, in my opinion. But the hair we washed was oftentimes filled with lice, because those are the conditions in which they live. And so to provide for them not only something that removed the pests from their hair, but a loving touch that they craved so much. And they have loving parents, but in many situations, there is abuse, oftentimes fostered by the males. And so they deal with that in their everyday life. Kids matter. Those 90 kids that showed up yesterday for the first communion retreat, they matter. Those kids we washed hair for down in Honduras, they matter. And so that's such an important way to follow Jesus, to lead by example. Another thing that we know at Good Shepherd is that passion or worship is passionate. I hope you feel that when you come to worship, that worship is passionate. Prayer and communion is passionate. We discovered another level or dynamic of passionate worship as they prayed with such and worshiped with such zeal when we were there. It was inspiring to experience that kind of passionate worship. We know here that relationships are caring. And to take the depth of that, that on the right is one of our Honduran translators. She looks a lot like our own Elizabeth Heinen that works in student ministry here. But also the little baby that Janine is holding on the left. That little baby is a miracle baby. Aren't all babies? what makes this miracle a little more relevant is that her mom was there, and you can't see it, but her mom had one of her legs amputated because of cancer. And that amputation took place when she was pregnant with that baby. And the doctor said, "We don't think we can save this baby, but we need to save you and take care of your leg." She really wanted to give birth to her baby instead of saving her own life, but it was the only way the doctors knew to take care of her. And miraculously, the baby lived. What a gift. What a blessing. And miraculously, through the care that woman received and the love of Jesus that she received while we were there, by God's inspiration, she received Christ into her heart that day. That Janine was praying with her. She realized that God had been with her, that God had spared her baby, that God was there to protect and care for her in ways that went way beyond her understanding because she didn't know what the next day held for her. But she knew that Jesus loved her. We believe here at Good Shepherd that teaching should be biblical and transformational. Meet Pastor Suapa. Pastor Suapa is a Lutheran Honduran pastor. And I want to thank you because by your generous offerings, you help pay for her seminary instruction, her seminary schooling, so that she could become a pastor. Thank you. When your offerings, given so generously and graciously, come into those offering plates, they do work right here in Naperville. And those offerings do ministry with those 90 kids who are learning about First Communion. But they also do work globally. Your generous offerings make a difference. Because of your generous offerings, Pastor Suapa was able to be ordained as a Lutheran pastor. And now the work she's doing in Honduras, so that maybe the people don't have to leave, is incredible. The work that you are doing through her is making a difference. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you will continue to do, because you, when you hear the news about that caravan, can know that you are helping to make a difference so that those kinds of situations might not be so prevalent and you can help make their life better. Thank you. Not only do we believe that teaching should be biblical and relevant as Pastor Suapa brings God's word to her people in that country, but also spiritual growth is expected. We grew spiritually. So are the people of Honduras growing spiritually. So are those 90 First Communion students growing spiritually. It's both and ministry right here and in faraway places. When that happens, generosity truly becomes a way of life. And thanks to your offerings, things like what happened in the next story can continue to happen. One day when I was in the station caring and praying for people, Miriam came to me. She had her bag of medicine that we'd given freely to her. I said, "Did you receive everything that you needed?" And Miriam said, "Almost." And I said, "What do you mean almost?" "Well, they gave me a lot, and I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. Thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing the love of Jesus." They didn't quite have everything because, you see, I'm still recovering from 4 bullet wounds. I said, "What? Tell me your story." She'd been on her way to the church for a Bible study. On her way, she'd stopped at her son's house just to say hi and see how he was doing. When she arrived, there were 2 men there confronting her son. They were wanting drugs. He didn't have drugs. It was a case of mistaken identity. They thought he was holding out on them. Because they thought he had drugs that he wasn't giving to them, they pulled out their guns and they shot him. They shot him twice before she could react, putting herself between the gunman and her son to try and save his life. In the process, they shot her 4 times. Once in the chest, once in the stomach, once in the thigh, and once in the arm. And we took a look at that passage of scripture together that talked about how greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends, for his family. I said, "Miriam, you did that for your son." And she said, I did that for my son because Jesus did that for me. I want to try and help save my son's life because he doesn't know Jesus like I do. And I wanted to save his life so he could grow in his relationship with Jesus. And by God's grace, her son as well as Miriam survived. And she proclaimed to me how important Christ was in her life. Those are the kinds of circumstances those caravan people are trying to escape. When we go, and thanks to your generous offerings for ministry, when we go, you help make a difference in the lives of those people. What is it that Jesus says about leadership when he's talking about why church? In the words of the gospel, Jesus says this, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is how we lead according to Jesus. We lead with humility, we lead with assurance. The Bible goes on to say this, do not think more highly of yourselves than you ought, but rather think of yourself in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. That's the measure of faith that Miriam had when she stepped between the gunmen and her son. God gave her the measure of faith she needed. And again, the Bible says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus invites us to imitate, and Jesus inspires. And so these verses also from Scripture, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the way of Jesus. This was what is what it means to follow Christ. This is what it means to be the leader God created us to be. I don't know about you, but this past week I was really inspired by the story of the mom from Naperville talking about her daughter who's playing on the Neuqua Valley football team. Did you see the story? Did you read her full letter? It came out. Let me read a few portions of that letter for you. And at the end, I'm going to invite you to think about where the parallels are between this letter and what Jesus invites of us. It's really not about the girl. It's about much more. It's one thing to talk about kindness and acceptance and tolerance, but to put your words into action is sometimes very challenging. My daughter's been asking me since middle school if she could play on the football team, and I worried about that. I worried not only about her physical safety, about the social atmosphere. I was worried that the girls in middle school would isolate her as being different. I wasn't sure if she was mature enough to handle the awkwardness and hormonal imbalance of middle school on top of being part of an all-boys team and bonding and connecting with girls at the same time. Perhaps shame on me for not trusting her or her peers. But I'd heard so many stories of girl drama in middle school. I didn't want to add to the element of chaos. It seemed like a responsible decision at the time for her overall well-being to thrive academically and socially in middle school and not be part of the football team. But she went to Neuqua Valley High School and she participated in volleyball and ultimate frisbee and cheerleading, and she seemed content. She also participated in ultimate club, and then she had another good year academically and socially, mixed with your typical teenage stuff. But as sophomore year was in full swing, She told me that she wanted to start weightlifting with the boys so she could play football. She had to get up at 5:30 in the morning to do the weightlifting. We got into the car each morning. It was dark. It was early. We were tired. I thought surely it would not last. I worried about her and what would become of this situation. But it seemed that with each negative comment came many more positive ones. And the guys actually seemed to stand behind her and support her. Springmen Flyers came home for about football camp, and she wanted to go. She does have grit. She has some will and some determination. But would she be safe? So I called the coach. He believed in her. I believed in her. She believed in herself. She made it through June and July football camps. She loved every minute, and she enjoyed the hard work. August brought full pads and gear, and along with it, full tackle. She got creamed. I got a call from the coach, who was concerned, but not willing to cut her. She had met all of his expectations. She had come to every practice. She had done everything he asked of her. Clear of any concussions and zero interest in quitting, she was ready to immediately get back on the field. Saturday morning came. She took the bus to Glenbard North High School, for the junior varsity game. I sat in the stands and I listened to the other parents. I wonder if number 33 will play today. I hope so, said another person. I'm afraid she's going to get hurt. And then finally, I heard the words, "Oh my, 33 is going into the game." My heart was racing. I knew hers was too. I stood up, I followed the play. I had watched how the players' coaches had coached her on the sidelines. I'd watched how the coaches had given her tips and watched a team truly accept my daughter, regardless of her gender. In a world of adversity and cruelness, perhaps I should have trusted the goodness in people back in middle school and in high school. But I tell you, those high school football coaches proved that kindness, acceptance, and tolerance do exist. You didn't crush her spirit. You fostered it. You didn't say she couldn't. You trained her so she could. You allowed her to believe in herself, so she did. You provided opportunity to grow, so she will. You walked the talk, and so does your team. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Invitation, imitation, inspiration. I wonder if that isn't what God does for us. Is it possible that God does not crush our spirit, but rather fosters it? That's the God I believe in. I also believe that God never says we can't. He enables us so we can. He allows us to believe in ourselves so that we will. He provides us opportunity to grow so that we will. God not only walks the talk through his son Jesus, but he provides for us so that we can as well when we follow and therefore lead as God calls us. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you for your invitation. Thank you that by the gift of imitation and your gift of the Holy Spirit of inspiration, we can not only follow you, but we can be the leaders you have called us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.